Normally, when they say the word of God, our response should be, thanks be to God. So let's try that again. The word of God, thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came round upon them, and glory shone around. Lord, it is that glory that you shone on the angel, on the shepherds that night, that we are celebrating this morning. May your peace be with us throughout the season of Advent, to the praise, glory, and honor of your name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. I will say from the clergy and the entire Sebeka community, I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a prosperous 2025. Just wish the person next to you Merry Christmas. Just Merry Christmas. There's a song, there's a Christmas carol that says, I know it's been said many times and in many ways, Merry Christmas to you all. So it's not the first Christmas, Merry Christmas you will hear, and it's definitely not the last one you will hear today. So be ready. Merry Christmas. You can say it 1,000 times, Merry Christmas. This morning, our theme for this season is Behold, I Bring You Good Tidings. And the sermon title is Love Came Down at Christmas. Amen? Love came down at Christmas. Let me say that one more time again. Love came down at Christmas. For the short while, it's not a sermon, it's an exhortation. I came to Sebeka in 2016. I came to Goma in 2015. So it's a whole year I was in Goma without going to church. Then somebody told me about Sebeka, and then I attended Sebeka. And one of the things that intrigued me all the times I've been attending Sebeka is the frequency in which people get married. Anytime I come to Sebeka, the first few months, every time, weddings. And can you imagine when somebody from the choir is getting married, you can hear the joy that they all, like they are celebrating the joy of somebody. I even tell my friends who I meet there, are you single? Yes, come to Sebeka, you'll get married. And it's not only about that, about the wedding. After the wedding finishes, we are also overjoyed when we listen to the church news and we're waiting for a newborn baby. Sometimes we are even eager to clap. We have to wait for the announcer to say, you can now clap. And I remember our former pastor, Pastor Badisiri, when he had a newborn baby, we could not even wait for the announcer to say, you can now clap. We all started clapping because the announcement of a child's birth is very paramount in the life of a Christian, right? Even nowadays with the introduction of technology, we'll see they're doing TikTok videos to announce the child's birth. They're doing choreographed presentation. They're doing flyers to announce the birth of a child, to announce the addition of a family. Now, with that in mind, spare a thought for the process of Christmas, that when God decided to announce the birth of the promised Messiah, when God decided to announce the birth of this person that they've been waiting for, when God decided to announce the pronouncement of this Messiah, that the Old Testament from Genesis right down to Malachi, they've actually prophesied that somebody is going to come who is going to be a Messiah, who is going to save the world. And God makes it a priority to not announce it to kings, to not announce it to religious leaders, but to shepherds. Spare a thought for this. The promised Messiah, somebody who says is going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the first person God decided to announce the birth, saying, this child that I've promised you for generations is now born, is to shepherds. You know, we live in a world, a modern time, where we don't know much about shepherds. Let me tell you about shepherds. Shepherds are considered outcasts. They are considered dropouts. They are not encouraged in society. You know why? Because they live among sheep. They live among cattle. They live among all these animals. And because they live with these animals, they smell. So they are not encouraged in society. They are kept in a very far away. And because of all this, God decided that they are the number one priority. I'm going to announce the birth of my son. That should already give you the first point of your Christmas lesson this morning. That when love came down on Christmas Day, everybody is equal in the sight of God. Oh, I wish I can get more hallelujah to that. That when God decides to, when love came down at Christmas, everybody is equal in the sight of God. God doesn't care how many times you come to church. God doesn't care how many times you fast. God doesn't care about how many ministries you serve in the kingdom. But when God looks at us through the eyes of the child that's just born, he looks at us equally. Amen? The Bible says, the text that we read, it said there were shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory shone around them. If you have your Bible, underline that word. The glory shone around them. Because when love comes down at Christmas, watch this. Inclusivity of every man and woman born under the sun became part of God's redemption plan. Amen? Every man, woman, children, as long as you are born under the sun, became part of God's redemption plan. Now, here it is. The glory of the Lord shone around them. That tells you that irrespective of the situation you are in, God's glory can still shine around you. Amen? The Bible tells us the most famous text in the scripture, John 3:16. We all know that by heart. Says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Watch this. That what? Whosoever. Stop. He didn't say for kings. He didn't say for reverends. He didn't say for bishop. He didn't say for leaders. He didn't say for presidents. He says for whosoever. So that underlines that when love came down for Christmas, the redemption plan encompassed every one of all in here. Everyone is equal in the sight of God. Second point, when love came down at Christmas, it came with good tidings of great joy. Amen? Good tidings of great joy. Now, when I was a child, you see, our Sunday school kids, in some of our countries, we have what they call 9 lessons and carols. We read 9 lessons, we read 9 carols. And they always find the smart kids in the school to actually read these lessons, right? But I tell you, as a child, I was always wondering, what does Genesis have to do with the birth of Jesus Christ? It was a difficult lesson because we didn't like to read Old Testaments because the names are difficult to pronounce. So they always get like Genesis. And I always remember, they're always talking about the fall of man. But as I grew up as a Christian, I begin to understand that for us to understand why Jesus came, we need to go to, quote and unquote, the genesis of where it all started. And the genesis of where it started is the fall of man. And because God had to find a way to reverse the process, since man had already sinned, he had to bring Jesus, send his only son as the sacrificial lamb to be a redemptive spirit for us to reconcile with our Lord and Master. Amen? So here is this. In the moment of fulfillment of this promise, the angel appeared to the shepherds, watch this, in a field whilst they are watching their flocks by night. A flock by night. Now, a flock is more than 4. And there were shepherds. So that means there were many shepherds and there were many flock. Okay? There were many flock. There were many sheep. There were many cattle. Watch this. In a field full of sheep, in a field, F-I-E-L-D, full, F-U-L-L, full of sheep. Now, let's just take outside the car park. If we load all that car park with sheep, you know what happens there? If you are walking, you have to be looking at the ground or else you will step on something. You all know what that something is. A field full of sheep, it smells. It has feces on the floor. You will have to be making sure that you don't step because or else the smell will follow you. But yet, in a field as nasty, as smelly, as ungodly, as dirty, the Bible says the glory of the Lord shone around them. I don't know who I came to preach to this morning, but you are in a messy situation. You might be in some situations where you don't want to be. You've been in a situation where you can't fight. But let me assure you that when love comes down on this Christmas day, it doesn't care about your situation. The glory of the Lord is shining around you. So here's this. If you wake up in the morning and you don't have anything in your pocket, just look that you have life. Know that the glory of God is shining around you. If you have a job that you don't like, but you get salary at the end of the month, know that the glory of the Lord shining around you. If you have children, they are bad, they are wayward, but yet every morning when they look at you, they say, good morning, mom, good morning, sir. Thank God, because the glory of the Lord is shining around you. Amen. So this is the good tidings of God, that when love came down at Christmas, it brings you that joy, that love, that you cannot actually purchase. It's priceless. The gift, Paul says, that the greatest of them is that love that the angels came around with to shine on this Christmas morning. Amen? And here's the last point, and I'll close. Now, we all know Christmas has been commercialized, okay? But as Christians, we have to be careful not to get carried away with all this fancy stuff. As Christians, we have to recognize one thing. Jesus is the reason for the season. All right, let me say that again. With all this glamour going around, never ever forget that Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen? Now, when you look at all these shops, they are showing all these Christmas decorations, and there's one mistake that they normally do. You see a manger, then you see baby Jesus, you see Joseph, you see the shepherds, and then you see the wise men. That is not correct. If you see a manger with a wise man in it, that is not correct. We say it's biblically incorrect and theologically inaccurate. You know why? Because the wise men never made it to the manger. The wise men, by the time they found Jesus, it was already scripture says it was already some months and years old. That's why when the shepherds went to the manger, the scripture says they found the baby. When the wise men went to the manger, they said they found the child. Well, you'll catch that on your way out. So, the reason the Jews found it difficult to accept Jesus is this. Because their expectations of a promised Messiah was somebody who was to be born in a palace. Their expectation of a promised Messiah is not somebody who would be born, who would be the son of a carpenter. Their expectation of a promised Messiah is not somebody who would be born from Nazareth. If you know the Bible, Nazareth is the ghetto, is the hood. That's why in the book of Acts, when the disciples were talking in tongues, when they were speaking in languages that other people can understand, the people said, aren't those people from Nazareth? Because they are uneducated. How can they be speaking languages that we don't even know? Who are learned don't even know. So this is one area that the Jews did not believe that this is the promised Messiah. Hold on. Now, Jesus, Mary was supposed to be married to Joseph. And then Mary went to live with her cousin Elizabeth and came back 3 months pregnant. And then she says the Holy Spirit did it. So, Jesus born in a manger. Jesus, born from a son of a carpenter. Jesus, born from a lady who was supposed to be married, and then a teenager, and then she got pregnant, and we don't know who the child is. And then Jesus going to be born in a manger, and the first people that goes to see him are shepherds. The Jews said, that cannot be the Messiah. That cannot be the Messiah. But what you have to realize is this. Watch this. All that this tells you is grace makes it possible for us to come to Jesus even though we are unworthy. Because if Jesus was born in the palace, you would have to make an appointment to go see him. If Jesus was born in the mansion, a matter of fact, listen, the angels appeared to the shepherds and told them the good news. Now the shepherds said to one another, let us go and see this thing that the angel said. They didn't say, let us go and change our clothes. They didn't say, let us go and wash ourselves. They didn't say, let us go and purify. Because when love came down at Christmas, it accepts us for who we are. It accepts us for who we are. Despite the filth, despite the stench, despite all the issues we have, Jesus accepts us for who we are. Beloved, these are the three lessons this morning for Christmas. That when love, because of love, love knows no boundaries. Love knows no wrong. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 13, the greatest of them, of all these gifts, is love. Because you can see some relationships that even though one person is really treating the other person bad, but because of that love inside, you tend to overlook all these things. So when love came down at Christmas, as you make your way to enjoy the festivities, never ever forget this, that love came down and looks at us and says, all of us are equal in the sight of God. Love came down and looks at us and gives us good tidings irrespective of our situation. And love came down and despite our messy situation, messy surroundings, but still accepts us for who we are. Therefore, Christian friends, people of Sebeka, go and live the life of somebody who love is shining around you every day of your life. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you this morning that you chose this very moment to bring your son to die for us. And as we accept him as the sacrifice of our faith, let us live that life worthy of the life set by Jesus. That for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will always be on his shoulder because his name is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, and the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. May the peace of God be with you always. Amen.
Can you appreciate the word of God again? God bless you, Brother William, for this powerful message.